What's good, gang? We back, baby. We back for a special True Crime in a Dime. It's a dub session, if you will. and today I got to jump straight into it without any small talk because we have a bit to go over. And, you know, these are shorter sessions, so don't got a lot of time to talk. I'm not even going to talk about the weed I'm smoking, but I am going to smoke it, of course. That's a guaranteed goddamn tea. And, of course, it's from the homies. Shout them out, Wolfpack. Man, that ice cream mix is delicious. Whoa. Inhale the good, exhale the bullshit, baby. Hoo-wee. Let's get started, baby. All right. So let's start with what we know so far, because this is a very new case. New information is coming out every second. So let's just go with what information we have laid out in front of us. First and most importantly, the victim of this crime, rest in peace, Gabby. Gabby Petito. I believe it's Petito. That's how I've heard it said. If I'm wrong, please correct me. I have no problem with being corrected when I fuck up. Born in a suburb of Long Island called Blue Point on March 19th, 1999. So she was still a young child when this horrible crime was committed. The other person is the alleged perpetrator of this crime, Brian Laundry. He's 23, just a year older than his girlfriend, or excuse me, fiance. They were engaged. Not a lot has come out about his past, and I really don't give a shit about his past, really, unless they're trying to, like, understand his motives or build a profile or something. I don't really give a fuck about his past. But his parents did make a little statement. That which is very important to this crime. And after Gabby's body was found, they made a brief statement as well. Just, I think all they said was, may she rest in peace. And then they were like, no further comment. And I get that. And earlier today, earlier yesterday, they were seen packing an attached camper to their car and departing the old residence. I imagine they were trying to escape the media circus. Not maybe fleeing to meet their son somewhere, since he's thought to be in Florida right now. But, you know, that's just me being a non-trusting guy when it comes to true crime. After all the stories I've seen of people just thinking, you know, people should be trusted. And, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm a skeptical guy. Like Mr. Old John Walsh, Mr. America's Most Wanted. I don't know if you guys saw his interview, but I'm kind of on his boat. I'm kind of skeptical of this fucking family right now. And honestly, if you're not a little skeptical of this family, yeah, you're too trusting. I mean, like, you got to have a little skepticism of this family just because, you know, how... I digress. I don't have time to digress today. So as I said, we don't have a lot of time to get into much background. So we'll just get into the facts known so far. On August 12th, 2021, a witness called 911 emergency response line claiming that the couple was fighting in front of the Moonflower Community Cooperative in Moab, Utah. During that call, the witness told the dispatcher that Laundry, Mr. Brian, slapped Gabby, and the two ran up and down the sidewalk, after which Brian then hit Gabby again, and then they drove off. In a statement written by the witness, he wrote that Gabby and Brian were both talking aggressively and that Gabby was seen punching him in the arm. And by the way, I hope nobody thinks, oh, well, see, Gabby was hitting him too. So, I mean, maybe he was just defending him. If you're one of those people, please turn off this podcast. go running into traffic and just do something else. Don't fucking speak on this shit. A woman punching a guy in the arm is not a reason for him to slap her or hit her. You just restrain her. Just stop her from hitting you. That's it. Just grab her arms. It's not hard. Yeah, and or just create distance and get away from her. Like you don't have to hit her. I'll tell you that much. That's not necessary at all. I worked security in fucking LA for years. I've had girls attack me. It's not that hard to. I mean, they're wild. I will say that girls are hard to stop, but they're not hard to like stop. I mean, it's not the hardest thing in the world. Like, bro, come on. And Gabby was. She's not a big girl. She's pretty small, petite woman. Like, come on, bro. He said it looked like Brian was trying to leave Gabby and take her phone with him before Gabby eventually climbed into the driver's seat and then moved over to the passenger seat. And then she was heard asking, quote, "Why do you have to be so mean?" End quote. And then the van drove off. When the police responded, they forced the traffic stop of their van near the entrance of Arches National Park and found Gabby crying heavily in the passenger seat. That's when she told the officers that she was struggling with some personal issues. Personal issues being an asshole fiance. The responding officer wrote in the report that, quote, "At no point of my investigation did Gabby stop crying, breathing heavily, or compose a sentence without needing to wipe away tears, wipe her nose, or rub her knees with her hands in anxiety." End quote. That quote right there kind of just makes me say, when you hear the conclusion of said stop, you're like, yeah, kind of fucked up. So Brian said that they had been arguing and that emotional tension had been building due to traveling together for 4 to 5 weeks. If no one knows this, traveling with your partner will test a relationship. Yeah, I mean, a road trip will definitely test it. So I'm sure this excuse helped kind of alleviate the cops' suspicions a little bit because they know that is the case. Like, road trips can get tense. Traveling with your partner can get tense. So I'm sure this probably alleviated their concern a little bit. Both agreed that Gabby had struck Brian. Ooh, she hit him in the arm. as she was concerned that he would leave her alone and stranded after he got in the van. In the report, the officers characterized Gabby as the suspect, as, quote, "The male tried to create distance by telling Gabby to take a walk and calm down. She did not want to separate from the male and began slapping him. She showed indications of separation anxiety. He grabbed her face and pushed her back as she pressed upon him and the van." No mention of, you know, Brian striking her not once but twice. They just fucking saying Gabby's the one that fucking was trying to create the issue. Come on, man. Come on, cops. No charges were filed as a result of the incident because, you know, as you can see, both parties don't want to file charges. And the police arranged for Brian to spend the night in a hotel and for Gabby to stay in the van, separating the two after characterizing the incident as a mental or emotional health break instead of domestic violence. Now, some say that, you know, this was good enough, you know, that, you know, separating them for the night, letting them cool down, the officers did the right thing. Like, let's see if that helps. Then there's some that are like, after that quote of what the cops said about Gabby and how she was acting, maybe you should have intervened a little more and maybe, I don't know, take a motherfucker to jail or do something else. It just seems like not enough was done. But I'm not a cop. I don't know, you know, how to assess situations as good as they do, if they don't even know how to assess them. I wasn't there. I mean, we just got the what's it called? Body cam. So I can't completely know everything that the cop saw, but we can all agree now that they probably should have done something else, you know, seeing how we know how this ends. It was after this when the true mystery begins. So let's get into some eyewitness sightings that have been reported on this case. The first sighting was at Mary Piglet's restaurant in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, on August 27th. Nina Angelo, excuse me, claimed that on August 27th, between 1 and 2 p.m., she saw Brian and Gabby together at Mary Piglet's, a local Tex-Mex restaurant here in Jackson Hole. And then Brian had an argument with the manager, the waitress, and the hostess, all who were women. So it seems that he has a little aggression issue towards women. It was apparently over money, and he was aggressive the whole time. So, and what's it called? Nina, excuse me, said that later she saw Gabby return to the restaurant crying, shaking, and she was apologizing for Brian's behavior. Once again, Gabby seems shaking up, emotional from Brian's temper tantrums and his ridiculous behavior, showing that he's probably an aggressive man, probably has a temper, probably lashes out. That's what I can gather from just the little bit. And restaurant staff did confirm via Instagram that Brian and Gabby were indeed at the restaurant. So the second sighting came a few hours after the first. Jen and Kyle Bethune, under the YouTube channel called Red, White, and Bethune, corny as shit, by the way, posted dash cam footage from August 27th, which shows a white van matching description of the one that Gabby and Brian had been driving in the Spread Creek dispersed camping area of Bridger Teton National Forest in Wyoming near Grand Teton National Park. Initially interested in the white van's license plate as an indicator of a fellow of a fellow traveler from Florida. The Bethunes, curious, said that they saw the van around 6 p.m. and saw it once more when they returned to the area later that night. The back door of the van abruptly closed as the Bethunes got closer. Strange, but not anything definitive. The next sighting doesn't have an exact day, but it's between August 26th and August 28th. Not exactly sure. This is why I'm kind of, I'm not 100% sure on this girl's information because she couldn't remember the day and it wasn't that long, after. Jessica Schultz said she reported to the FBI the activities and the exact coordinates of a slow-moving white van and a man acting weird near the Spread Creek dispersed camping area of that fucking forest. I'm not going to break down that forest again. On August 26th, 27th, or possibly the 28th. She posted a video on TikTok of her observations. She wasn't one of the TikTokers that I was talking about as far as the people that, are trying to be like sleuths. She just posted information on TikTok. But it's believed that her information did help the FBI. But according to her, the FBI agent said that her tip is what led them to the body. But that hasn't been confirmed by the FBI nor any other sources. And that's the only problem I have with what she did, because that information has no need, absolutely no need, except to garner attention and likes. Like, why the fuck do we don't need to know that your tip is what gave the FBI led them to the body. So what? Quit trying to fucking look at me, pat me on the back. Like, fuck off, lady. There's a girl here that died. Let's pay attention to that and try to figure that out before giving you pats on the back. The last sighting was allegedly August 29th in Coulter Bay Village. Miranda Breaker claimed that, and I must add, unconfirmed, on August 29th, she and her boyfriend gave Brian a car ride from the area near Coulter Bay Village after seeing him hitchhiking alone. She claimed that when Brian found out that they were going to Jackson Hole instead of Jackson, he then freaked out and asked them to stop immediately. And he got out near the Jackson Lake Dam less than 30 minutes after being picked up. Baker reported that the time he left the vehicle as 6:09 p.m. Baker also found it weird that Brian offered $200 for a 10-mile ride and did not appear to be very dirty, despite claiming that he had been camping for days. Weird. So after all these sightings and police searches, police started their investigation into this disappearance officially. On September 14th, 2021, police seized the van from Brian's family. Police seized the van from Brian's family home to search for additional evidence. Crime scene technicians found the external hard drive that was later examined as part of a search warrant. On September 15th, Brian was named a person of interest, of course. He and his parents refused to, He and his parents refused to speak to police or to the Petito family and hired a lawyer who advised him to remain silent. Of course, any lawyer is going to advise their client to shut the fuck up and not say anything. Because whether guilty or innocent, anything you will say, they will fucking use that shit against you. As they say in your Miranda rights. Excuse me, let me get some water. I'm getting cottonmouth kicking my ass. So on September 17th, protesters gathered outside of the Brian Laundrie's home residence in Northport, Florida. Some Northport residents held a candlelight vigil for Gabby that same day. After not having been in contact with anyone for 3 days, Brian was reported missing by his parents. And based on the information from the Laundrie family, they knew his possible whereabouts. And, of course, the police and FBI then, you know, got really concerned. So they started searching for Brian in the T. Mabry Calton Reserve, a Sarasota County park approximately 13 miles northwest from Northport. On September 17th, Grand County police released a statement saying that a recent double homicide that had took place in Moab was determined to not be related to Gabby's disappearance. I hope that that is completely and for sure confirmed, and that would be really good if they confirmed that, because hey, who knows, this nigga might have had to kill two other people that saw him or something. But I trust that they're telling the truth. But we've seen how the cops fuck up. But most of those fuck ups are in the past, so we'll give them a chance. On September 19th, 2021, human remains were found near the Spread Creek Dispersed Camping Ground area. I don't know if you guys remember, but that's where a lot of witness testimony said that he was last seen at. The remains matched Gabby's description. On September 20th, the FBI then carried out a search warrant of Brian's home, declaring it an official crime scene. Authorities then towed the family's Ford Mustang from the driveway of the home, and the next day, Gabby's family then got the news they never wanted to hear. On September 21st, Teton County Coroner Brent Blue confirmed that the remains found were indeed Gabby Petito's. With the preliminary determination that the manner of death was indeed homicide. Homicide being the intentional killing of a person. So that means, you know, her matter of death still to be determined, because they have to do the full autopsy. But one thing they are for sure is it's not suicide or accidental. Now, I'm going to quickly run through what is believed to have happened, but this is nothing definitive. This is what some experts and other people in the law enforcement community believe and is what has been talked about. So many experts, like I said, believe that after a heated argument, after much tension is built up throughout the days of their road trip and Brian's getting increasingly abusive, Brian Laundry became enraged and struck Gabby. And after striking her, things then escalated and Brian ended up killing Gabby. After killing her, he panicked, dumped her body in said camping grounds where they were at, and then began hiking, you know, just kind of aimlessly, just kind of give people, you know, a sense that he was doing other things besides killing somebody and putting their body away, I guess. After killing her, he panicked, dumped her body, like I said, and then this was when, Miranda may have picked him up from Coulter Bay. The girl that gave him a ride that he freaked out on and jumped out. And like I said, Miranda's not, her story isn't confirmed. So we're going off of, if her story is correct, that's the thought. After returning to his van, he drove back to Florida. And this is when things get a little kind of shady. Because yesterday, this is kind of what made me delay the session a little bit. A neighbor claimed to have seen the family in Brian's van leaving the home the day that Gabby was reported missing. Okay, do you get that? So that would completely change the timeline of events. And it would implicate the parents as being 100% complicit. And it would be the first. It wouldn't be the first time I've seen parents help their kid try to get away with a crime. Hence what I said earlier. I've seen multiple cases like this where parents are like, I ain't letting my baby go to jail. Come on. We gonna hide your ass. And they just fucking hide the kid. I've seen it before. It wouldn't be a shock if that is the case to me at all. Wouldn't be a shock. I digress, but I had to mention it. After dumping the van, it's believed that he, leaving his van at his parents, he was believed to have headed into the woods of Florida after panicking that shit was coming down. it was starting to, he knew that, all right, shit's about to start piling up on me. They found her body. Fuck. Oh, God. Oh, fuck. Sorry, I gotta take another one. This case frustrates me. So it's believed that he headed into the woods of Florida, and many believe that he's either headed to Alabama, into the swampland woods over there, or he's hitting the Appalachian Trail. If it is the latter, I should remind y'all of old Eric Rudolph. I don't know if you guys don't know who Eric Rudolph is. Get off my fucking show. You don't know true crime then. Eric Rudolph hid on the Appalachian Trail for 5 years from the feds. So the feds definitely don't want him to get up in there and get settled into that shit. But he also doesn't have the survival skills that Rudolph had. So who knows if he's even capable of that. He's kind of a fuck boy, so I doubt he'd be able to do that. Now, I'm just going to give my theory real quick. Just a quick little pew pew. I agree with most of the theories the experts said, but I think that the parents know more. And I think that Brian just might be dead already. I think he might have gone somewhere in the woods or even jumped into some kind of body of water when he realized that shit was closing in on him, and he just said fucking committed suicide. That's honestly one of the things that I believe. Me and my buddy were talking about it the other day. I just think that he just said fuck this. I'm it's over for me. And I hope he didn't kill himself so Gabby's family can get some answers. about what happened to their daughter. But if he is dead, at least it's one less piece of shit on this planet. You know, we got that going for us. Either way, this whole thing is just a sad, sad tragedy. And I want to end this with something that for some reason just hasn't slowed down or calmed over the years. Domestic violence. Women, please, 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 if you're in any kind of abusive relationship, whether physical or mental, you know, and you just need help, and you know, you just need something, some guidance, and it needs to, you just need to get out of that situation ASAP. And if it's not, you know, something that you could just walk away from, and it's usually not if it's abusive, then you should try to seek some help. And I will attach a link and a phone number for the National Domestic Violence Hotline for abuse victims in the episode description. And they can help you find solutions that get you the help needed. And they will also help after you escape said situation so you can avoid your abuser and figure out how to, you know, move on from said abuse and try to, you know, get new relationships started, move on, move forward. I got to wrap this one up because I'm going over again, but stay tuned for updates on this case and also a full deep dive after the case concludes and we can get all the details and all the, you know, the nitty gritty. Don't forget to tune in Saturday for the next session of Unspeakable Crimes involving teens and kids. And we are doing one of the most known and still one of the most shocking crimes in British history. We dive into the sad case of James Bulger. Bulger was a 2-year-old boy that was kidnapped by two 10-year-old boys that would go on to do things you would never think a 10-year-old was capable of. But their evil didn't end after this crime and, you know, being locked up for years. And we will dive into all of that. So till Saturday, gang. Love y'all. Stay high. Peace.